Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSF Radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF. Hello. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco. Thank you so much for joining us on this rainy Tuesday. Has it been rainy?
It's a little foggy up on the mountain, but very foggy. Beautiful earlier today. Mm-hmm. Had a very nice walk.
Oh, yeah. Today we had Clubs Day for the station, so I was there tabling a little bit, trying to rally more volunteers to come to CGSF.
Building an army.
Yes, but that's only our campus demographic. So also a reminder that anyone in the community, so you in the community, can join the radio station, start a show, meet some people, and we'll teach you everything. So just a little promotion for that. As usual, we have our topic and lots of music for this week. So stay tuned for that topic, and we will start off with the music. So this first one is by the artist Sahadi, and it's called Kismet. She's from Toronto. So enjoy.
Fading, my memory's tainted. What was it that went south? Keep coming back around to me.
Oh my.
Gave it a shot in the open. Yes, I gave it a shot and I'm broken. Believed what I had for a moment.
Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Welcome, welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star.
And you are tuning into Slumber Party. So just going to introduce the last couple songs you just heard. So that last one you just heard was by Claudia Bouvet. Song name was The Meaning to Us from the album Diary for the Lonely Hearts Deluxe. The one right before that was Naive by Soft Cult from the album When a Flower Doesn't Grow. And that one is cool. I believe they're from Alberta, and it's like a DIY Riot Girl inspired type band. And then I already introduced the very first one, the first song that I played, but I feel like I want to give a little more background on them. So the first one you heard was by the artist Sahadi, and the song was Kismet. And the artist, she's from Toronto, and she is from Kosovo, and she sings in Albanian. And she was trained as a classical pianist, but then she became an award-winning drummer at 14.
Whoa.
Yeah, and she won the competitions, like all the major competitions there. And then she switched to this kind of more indie pop, you know, I don't even know how to describe her style.
Maybe like dream pop?
Yes, and indie. R&B a little bit too. But she has a very unique style. I like her artistic flair, I guess. And she's 21 right now. So,
yikes.
What a
award-winning drummer at 14, publishing music 21.
I'm like, dang, okay.
Well, a little behind.
So, go Sahadi. A little shout out for that. And we are going to do a little bit of the topic right now. So, we're going to try to split it up into half so we don't bombard you with too much information at once.
Mm-hmm.
So today we'll be talking about the kind of more the principles of evolution is how I put it. It's not going to be that boring.
we will be talking today
about
the Darwinian, Darwinian.
Sorry,
theories.
Everyone's like tuning out now.
that's all I would like to say.
But it's more about you know, we think as humans, everything's about competition, capitalism, you know, fight for the death kind of thing. And there's not a lot of emphasis on the role of cooperation, you know, humans giving to each other or expecting, like, doing things that don't expect anything back. And so we're going to get into that. And it ties from this idea that I want to throw at you, and maybe you can implement yourself about the gift economy, which is this type of economy that is very implementable in a community scale that you can do and start yourself. And this is all inspired from this book that I was reading the past couple months. It's called The Service Berry by Robin Wall Kimmerer. So Robin is an indigenous scientist, and the book kind of talks about learning from indigenous wisdom and just the plant world in general and comparing it to, you know, our current human world that has all this competition and us fighting for resources and us fighting for prestige, things like that. And I thought it was also funny that I picked this book up at my hospital book sale. So it was one of those free book stands. And so it was like the book gave to me. And I guess maybe that's the point of they want to get across. So
the word service berry is so adorable. I just have to say.
Yeah. It is a great idea. The book cover, it's also beautiful. The artwork, that's the first thing that drew me to it because it has this really, like, this watercolor picture of some berries and birds. And it just instantly represents the relationship that everything in nature has with each other. And that was, I'm a little bit of a vain person. I kind of go for the book cover. And so I went for the book cover.
Judge a book by its cover. Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. But this is honestly a great book. I would definitely recommend checking this out. It's very short too. It's very tiny. I think it's about 200-300 pages. Very digestible. Nothing like PhD level at all. So just before we get into this, you know, gift economy and everything, I kind of just want to talk about this role of cooperation, because it ties into the book. So, you know, starting off, we all know about Charles Darwin and his theory of evolution, which is very, very backed by evidence. And these three concepts of evolution go by three principles, which is one, I believe it's versatility, which is the different kind of genes. Like, there has to be different kind of genes, and different people or these organisms have different advantages that are all different from each other. Second one is adaptation. So, you know, some of them have claws and they can climb the trees, which is really helpful. So they'll probably live and have some offspring. And then the third one is competition. And this is where it gets a little blurry, because we always thought this kind of black and white thinking from Darwin about that competition is, you know, like, we're all fighting for the same resources, you know, that the top man wins, you know, the tribe with the strongest man, and everyone's fighting each other for stuff, and it's more about individualism, you know, fight for yourself kind of thing.
I just want to add about that type of rhetoric around survival of the fittest is where I think that quote comes from, which is, yeah, it is a Darwin quote, but fitness is more defined as an organism that's most suitable to the environment. So it doesn't necessarily need to be the largest or the most aggressive. It just must have a lot of offspring to keep the line down. But we have definitely interpreted it to fit our society and kind of fit the status quo of capitalism and competition to say, like, oh yeah, survival of the fittest. If you don't, if you're not cutthroat, if you're not aggressive, then you're not going to be successful. But that is not necessarily what Darwin meant when he was originally saying that.
Yeah. So
just
there's
a note.
First of all, yeah, misconception of the actual word itself. Because, yeah, when we think competition, we're like, oh, well, it's just you versus me, or this person versus this person. You know, there's a winner, there's losers. But there's also that, and also the more hidden aspect of evolution in this particular bullet point for competition is that there's the role of cooperation, which is, as we've been saying before, about, you know, humans helping each other, or not even just humans, but animals that help each other within their own species, or even with other species as well. So for an example, I can do an example for other species. So, you know, like, why would, an example, a bee help a flower? And so just the idea of pollination is an example of cooperation. And it's called when species help each other, symbiosis. And so, you know, the bee gets the energy, the nectar from the flower, and then the bee pollinates the flower, so it helps the flower, and the bee gets fed. So that's one idea of cooperation, which we kind of undermine.
Yeah, and that also is a process that goes for pretty much most of nature, is that there needs to be some aspect of symbiosis to continue having a sustained ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like everything is connected. You know, the trees need the insects in the ground to help fertilize, you know, it with the air as well. It's just all connected together to result in an end product, which the book particularly talks about, you know, the end product of a berry, because it's called the service berry, which we pick and eat, but we just see the fruits of it, but we don't see the entire process of the ecosystem to make that berry for us. And, you know, even just the concepts of berries, it's like, you know, why is nature just giving us something for free kind of thing? It's like, we didn't do anything to deserve this. And so that's kind of, you know, as I said, the idea of the book and this role of cooperation, which is, there is research on it, lots of research on it, but I think it's still a bit unclear on what balance of competition versus cooperation, because personally, I don't think we can't just have just cooperation or just competition. You know, there's got to be some balance.
Yeah. And there is, when talking about helping one another in nature, it does seem like it is necessary, but for humans, I think it's, you know, a bit more of a complicated topic, I guess I would say, because there are many different theories and reasons why we would help one another, and a lot of them could be perceived as selfish. And especially in evolution, there's this whole idea of the selfish gene, which basically means you'll do whatever you can to continue your genetic material passing on through the generations. So just helping those in your family or helping those who might help you back is the idea of the selfish gene. But then there's also a lot of psychological reasons as well. Could be, you know, making yourself feel better about yourself, which is boosting your self-esteem, mm-hmm. aligning with your core values, fulfilling a role or responsibility. You know, there's also empathy, which is an interesting one, because what is the evolutionary purpose of empathy, and why does it drive us to want to help people when we don't really think that we're going to get something back from that person? Like, we can just see ourselves in them.
Yeah. It's tricky. It's like, why do we do some things?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a bit disputed, and everyone has their own reasons, and they might not be even conscious reasons of why we do certain things, but.
Yeah. Cause even spiritually, like, some people believe in bad karma, good karma, and not even people who are really into the idea, but maybe in the back of their mind, they think about, you know, it's good karma if I do this action, mm-hmm. even though they're not trying to think about it. So, you know, will we ever know if anyone does anything out the good of their heart?
Yeah, like, doesn't there always have to be something in it for them? Even if it's not malicious, even if it's not sinister, like, what's in it for me? How can I, you know, get the most out of this person? But even friendship, there is a certain amount of mutual respect and care for one another, and if that's not there, and if it's only one-sided, then a lot of friendships won't continue. Mm-hmm. So even in nature, like, there's all these interspecies friendships I see on, like, I don't know, when I was a kid, I'd be like, oh, the panda bear and the little dog are, like, best friends. But then they also have reasons for being friends, like stress relief, mutually shared protection, like those kinds of things. There's always seems to be a reason, and not necessarily like that's a bad thing, but I guess I just wanted to point out that it needs to be mutual in some way.
I think maybe nature or natural selection has made us more empathetic, because we wouldn't know ourselves about the benefits of being kind to someone, but even just making us have the chemicals to make us feel good after doing something to help our community that will eventually help us back, will help produce more offspring, because, you know, we are still not thinking that we are aware of it overall. I don't know how to explain this.
So it's kind of like empathy facilitates reciprocity in a way. Like, empathy mm-hmm. helps along the process of that mutuality.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky to explain. I'm trying to think, like, because for cooperation, like, we are trying to do something good. And, you know, maybe like, we know that it's a good action. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. We know
that's
that
complicated.
It's a good, yeah, we know that it's a good action, but I don't think that we think too deeply about, like, karma and about, you know, I will eventually get this back. Like, you know, we will, if we study it from an outside perspective, yes, the person will probably get something back in the future, but maybe that person in the moment doesn't care. And so doesn't that cancel out everything?
But a lot of times when someone has been helping me and I'm a stranger to them, they'll tell me, like, oh, you know, someone helped me a long time ago when I didn't know anyone. And if I help you, I'm, like, continuing the cycle, and, like, I'll be helped one day again, too.
But what about the people who just helped?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what their intentions are, but there is some process of thinking about, like, this cycle of, you know, helping one another. And that's good. I think that's not necessarily a bad thing to think about, that someone in the past helped you, they didn't know you. You can help a stranger as well, and then maybe they'll help someone else.
Yeah, I think it is a little inherently selfish, but it's way better than what our current system
is,
which we'll get into now. Yeah. Because right now, our current world, as we know, we all live in it, that we have a lot of emphasis on, you know, market exchange. We go to the store, we give money, they give us an item back. It's a lot of capitalism, a lot of small amount of companies that own a lot of things and all the things that we buy and do. And we have this exchange, which it is said to be from, you know, the limited resources, which is a component of competition in evolution, because, you know, we don't have everything in the world for everyone. It is tricky because it's like thinking about the obesity crisis and things, and some people have too much of something.
Got a little too much junk,
yeah,
in the trunk.
A little bit too much, but... But then it's like, you know, with climate change and everything, we are dwindling our supplies. And so I wonder if this cooperation competition thing will, the scale will be imbalanced even further the more we get through life.
Yeah, because it is also, capitalism is ultimately about accumulation. And that kind of mindset will lead to greed, and with greed, like, there's never really enough. And combining that with the principle of needing to have ownership over everything, like, so, like, land, people, objects, like, houses, like, everything we think we can own, even though it is, you know, kind of a construct anyways, like, there's no way we can actually own the land that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to a lot of attachment to material items. But at the same time, it's so strange. Just thinking about it now, like, we have a lot of attachment to the material world, but then we're also so quick to throw away and discard to make room for something new or trendy. So that's also, I guess, part of the consumption aspect of capitalism.
Yeah, so it's kind of this false idea of limited resources because it's like, we're just so greedy. We just want everything for ourselves, and I think you talked about this before, that people would rather not lose something over getting something.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, the scarcity mindset of needing to prepare yourself, that there's never going to be enough. And that makes gift giving, and we'll get into